Sox fans, are you ready? You are listening to the Ducks and Pucks podcast with your hosts, Mike Walters and Eddie Jones. This is the number one home for Anaheim Ducks talk and analysis. Here we go.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Mike Walters, along with my co-host, Eddie Jones. And we have a good show for you this week, folks. Probably better than the way that the Ducks played in the first three games, Eddie. But we're going to go over each of those games and talk about what happened and basically kind of what went wrong in those three contests. We're also going to go over all the roster moves. The Ducks have been bouncing some players around, and a familiar face and Emerson Edom returned to the team. So we'll be talking about all of that. Plus, we have tons of your fan questions that we're going to get to as well. So we promise you we'll get to those later in the show. But first, we'll go with the recaps of the first three games, Eddie. The Ducks opened up on the road in Dallas. They started out on fire in the first period, out shooting Dallas 17-1, but ended up tied 1-1 after the first period, and ultimately went on to lose this game. Despite the strong start in the first period, they really slowed down in the second and the third, and ultimately they lost this one, Eddie, 4-2.
Yeah, and really, I mean, they should have been up by more. They really couldn't finish in the first period, and were actually only tied because of a shorthanded goal, even though they outshot Dallas immensely in that first period. And I think the theme of this game was just goals in front of the net, just guys left open, and we'll talk about that a little bit later and how that could be to us not having Hampus Lindholm right now. But look at the first goal with Steven Johns, he's left wide open. You see it with Adam Cracknell later on, Anton Roussel as well. Almost all these goals, they're left wide open in front of the net, and that was kind of the theme of the night for the Ducks. I mean, Cogliano had a good night, he got both of the goals, and he finally scores on a breakaway shorthanded, so I mean, good for him and a good start for him. But just a poor game overall. I think they could have got a lot more out of it. They just didn't really have any finish tonight.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was kind of disappointing seeing the defensive breakdowns in front of Gibson. I mean, three of these four goals were scored right around the crease, and that didn't help the matters with the Gibson's play as well. He wasn't super sharp in this game. So you put those two together, and I mean, it just didn't come together for the Ducks. I mean, they looked better on the offense. They dominated in the faceoff circle. They won 64%. One thing that they'll probably go back and look at this game as a killer was the power plays. They were 0-for-5 in power plays in this game. They had three right off the bat, early in this game, including a double minor against Jordy Benn, and they couldn't get it done. So, a lot of missed opportunities in the first period, especially with all those power plays, and I think that ultimately did it in, Eddie. It was a combination of not clearing out the around the net and not being able to cash in with those extra man opportunities.
Yeah, and when you play a team like Dallas, too, they're going to give you chances. I mean, this is a team who plays almost 100% offense, and they leave a lot of things open. They had 8 giveaways in the game. There's a lot of chances for the Ducks. They're throwing a lot of things to net. I mean, Getzlaf had 10 shots. I mean, for a guy last year who we criticized to shoot the puck more, he ends up starting the season with 10 shots, which is probably more than he had through his first 10 games last year. So, I mean, where they're throwing everything to the net, and they just didn't seem to get the bounces, and they just didn't seem to get in the right areas to put that puck in the back of the net when they had the chances. And Dallas, like I said, they were giving them opportunities. They play a fast offensive style of hockey. The Ducks just couldn't cash in, and like you said, that was kind of the theme of the night. And then obviously, defensively leaving guys wide open, and really those were the two mistakes that they made in this game, and really the reason they did end up losing as well.
One other thing to note too in this game, Eddie, is Simone Dupre didn't finish this game. He was missing in the third period there, and the word was that he had an upper body injury. They wouldn't say specifically, but there's hints out there amongst everybody that's talking that there may be some concussion type symptoms that is occurring from. Nothing really official from the team, other than they said he didn't really take a hard hit or anything like that. But we'll talk about the other two games coming up. But this is an interesting situation. I mean, he's out now. The Ducks, obviously still haven't signed Lindholm, and we'll go into this later, but this is going to factor in and kind of be important in terms of cap issues, which we'll go into more detail, Eddie.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, We see in the other games, Holzer comes up for one game, Stoner comes up for the other game, and they're kind of trying to see who could stick in that spot. Obviously, we still have Theodore who could come up. We don't know what's going to happen with Larson if Lindholm does get signed, but it does create some issues right now depth-wise for the Ducks not having Hampus Lindholm there to rely on to replace a guy like Simon Desprez. And but like you said, it does kind of create an interesting situation that they can use for the cap to sign a guy like Lindholm. If Simon Desprez is out long term, I'm sure they're doing all the tests right now and they're going to determine it. That is 3.7 million that you can bury on the injured reserve until he's ready to come back, and that frees up that much in cap space, as well as, like we mentioned before, with Nate Thompson and his salary that you can bury on the injured reserve and attempt to use that money to sign Hampus Lindholm. So it does create an interesting opportunity for the Ducks if they're going to go that route. Obviously, you don't ever wish for a guy to get hurt, but it does give them a little bit more flexibility now. If they were to put those guys, two guys on the injured reserve, it frees up more cap space than you would have thought.
Yeah, and then that's something that we're going to get into more depth to, including, we're going to talk about offer sheets as well, because that's something that's come up, and I know some of the fans have been concerned about it, and we have some fan questions about that. So we'll get it, up to that. But as far as Desprez going out, this injury then obviously, of course, did some line juggling in the next two games. So we saw Holzer come in the game against Pittsburgh. And, I mean, the result was kind of similar in this game. The Ducks came out strong in the first period. They got a lot of shots on net. They were flying around Pittsburgh and playing, a good first period. Of course, Pittsburgh gets the first goal. The Ducks do answer back in a couple of minutes. Cam Fowler gets his first goal of the season. And, it looked like the Ducks had a chance. They went into the second period. They played a decent second period in the beginning, but Pittsburgh started to take over, built a 3-1 lead. Corey Perry ended up getting a goal back, but that was really it. I mean, the Ducks couldn't come back, from the 3-2 deficit, and in the third period they kind of disappeared, and that was just the way that the game went, and they dropped this one 3-2, Eddie.
Yeah, and I hate to say it because we said it so many times to start the beginning of the season last year, but they're just not getting a lot of the bounces either. I mean, they had a lot of good chances. You obviously said that, Fowler and Perry got the two goals to get them back into it each time, but Fleury, in his own right, had a great game. He was outstanding. But the Ducks they're throwing everything they could to the net, and nothing was bouncing to them. And obviously, there's some fault on the goals that they ended up letting in, but it just didn't seem like they were getting enough chances in front of the net, and they were kind of getting desperate at times and throwing a lot of pucks to the net. I mean, all the credit to Jonathan Bernier in this game. He really kept them in it. I mean, he had 42 saves in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, a great start for him, continuing over from a great preseason. But again, the Ducks just not generating enough chances, or generating enough chances to finish on either. So, a close game, a game they could have won, but another one just like in the game in Dallas that they end up getting no points out of.
Yeah, they played a lot better, I thought, in this game in terms of the faceoffs. They still did well. They won 58%. They scored on the power play. They outhit the Penguins in this game, 34-25. The only thing is they got outshot. The shots were really crazy in this game. I can't remember a game where I saw 81 shots. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So, again, the defense not preventing Pittsburgh from doing their thing. I mean, without Crosby, you'd think Ducks, would have a good chance this game, but they ended up not. I think one of the worst plays probably was the Kessel goal on the power play. I mean, he basically just walks in all alone, does a quick fake, opens up the five hole on Bernier and gets that easy goal there. So there was another goal right in front of the net that unfortunately the Ducks allowed. But it was an entertaining game. It was a fun game to watch. But of course, the result wasn't what we wanted.
Yeah, and really, that's the last guy on that whole team, other than Crosby, that you would want to leave open and let him just walk in on Jonathan Bernier. I mean, he's a former teammate of the guy. He's going to know where to shoot on him, especially on a breakaway. So it's unfortunate for them. And you kind of see the same trend going into the Islanders game. We see that in the overtime goal by Josh Bailey. Another game where the Ducks dominated in the faceoff dot. Struggled on the power play again. PK was good though. You know, they were 4-for-4 in this one, and they've been pretty good throughout the start of the season. But you know, out hit them again. Didn't give up the puck too many times. So they forced the some turnovers from the Islanders, but again, couldn't capitalize on their chances. You know, Getzlaf gets the goal late, and we're, you know, finally things are turning around. They get to go into overtime, and then Josh Bailey walks in and wins the game, and the Ducks lose again.
Yeah, this game was a little different just in the start. I mean, the Ducks didn't play well in the first period at all. I mean, they honestly looked terrible, but then they got stronger in the second period. And then, you know, Randy Carlyle changed up the lines completely in the third period. It ended up working. The Ducks got two goals. They ended up getting into the overtime. You know, at least got a point. But like you said, they gave it right back, you know, with the Bailey early goal. But I think the play in this game that everybody looks at is the Tavares goal, in which, you know, Clutterbuck drives down the lane, breaks his stick trying to make a shot, ends up kicking the puck to Tavares while still holding his broken stick, and Tavares scores, which, you know, the Ducks protested. I mean, as you all are aware, you can't play with a broken stick. And unfortunately, in the rule book, it's not a reviewable play. So since it was called a goal, that's the way it had to stand. And not really defending Clutterbuck on this, but, I mean, he didn't use the stick in the play. But, you know, a rule's a rule, Eddie. And it's just unfortunate because the Ducks really could have got 2 points out of this game.
Yeah, and it's two times that they've got burned so far in the start of the season. We saw against Dallas on the Antoine Roussel goal. That was ultimately the game winner in that game. Cracknell clears out the front of the net. I don't remember who he cross-checked out of the in the crease, but he cross-checks one of the Ducks players down, who is nowhere near the puck, and he feeds it over to Roussel, who gets the ultimate, the game-winning goal. And we see that in this one as well, the goal that put them up 2-0. You know, Clutterbuck doesn't play it with the broken stick, but he does sweep at it in the kicking motion, and has his stick close enough to the puck that, you know, it's a tough call, but you would expect it to get called with, you know, the stick being that close to the puck, and he still holds on to it. You're supposed to drop the puck before you make, you're supposed to drop the broken stick before you make a play. So, I mean, it's disappointing. It can't be reviewable. I mean, it like I said, it isn't the game-winning goal in this one, but it does put the Ducks down 2-0. And it's just a tough one to swallow. You know, both of those goals, such big goals in these two games, and for them to kind of go against the Ducks, it's tough to swallow.
Yeah, I mean, it was happy, you know, to see them get, you know, 1 point, but definitely when you could have got two, especially with that, you know, iffy call. You know, I did like the fact that the Ducks responded right after that. You know, Cam Fowler blasted one and got his second goal, and, you know, now he leads the team with Cogliano, each with two goals each. So, you know, I don't know if he's up in his trade value. I mean, he's been playing, you know, pretty well, and I know people are like, oh, well, you know, the Ducks aren't doing well, but he keeps doing well, so... I'm happy that he is, you know, playing well and scoring, you know, and whether or not he gets traded is yet to be seen. But we're going to get into all that with the fan questions. But, you know, an interesting week after these three games. You know, obviously the Ducks lose the first three games. They only get 1 point. Not a total surprise, really, Eddie. I mean, I think the Ducks have played better in these first three games than they did in the first three of last year. But we did think that the offense was going to kind of be an issue. And we've seen it so far that, you know, they scored two goals in each of these games, which hasn't been terrible. But I think the defense has been a little bit more of an issue here, not clearing out the puck in front. You know, each of these games, you know, a majority of these goals have been scored, you know, around the net or in front of the net. And not too many point shots have been getting through. So that's something that the Ducks are going to have to tighten up. And with that, you know, some of the moves that happened this last week were kind of interesting. You know, the Ducks ended up reclaiming Emerson Edom off waivers from Vancouver. They ended up picking him up for, you know, just under $800,000, which is, you know, basically nothing practically in the NHL. So he rejoined the Ducks. He didn't play in any of these three games. He had issues getting his equipment from Vancouver to Pittsburgh, which had finally got there. But, you know, he ended up not playing. We could see him play on this road trip, though, especially against New Jersey and Philadelphia, as we just learned that Mason Raymond was sent down to waivers, so we'll see what happens with that. Also, Cramarosa was sent down, too, in order to make room for Edom and Raquel. As you all are aware, Raquel re-signed a deal, so the Ducks are looking for him to come back. So some movement on the forward side, nothing on the defense, Eddie, but I think you know, Emerson should give the Ducks a little bit of help maybe on the offense. I mean, obviously he's more of a bottom six guy, and then hopefully when Raquel comes in the next week or so.
You know, I do think he's an upgrade, though. I don't like what Mason Raymond has brought so far. I mean, he was brought in for his speed. He had a pretty good showing in the AHL for Stockton at the end of the season there. But I haven't seen him utilize his speed in a way that's benefited the Ducks. He hasn't really been noticeable for me. I believe he is on that two-way deal, so it isn't surprising to see
Yes.
him get sent down. And when you bring in a guy like Edom who is on a one-way, so I think it is good to bring in Emerson Edom. He does have that speed that Raymond has. He is more of a physical guy. He is inconsistent, and that was one of the reasons the Ducks did get rid of him. But he still is only 24. He's shown at times he can be brilliant. He can put the puck in the back of the net. And from the comments I've seen from him so far, he's a different guy off ice than he was when he left Anaheim. He's a father now. He's married. He has a kid. So I mean, not that that changes a lot, but I mean he's a different guy, and hopefully. And he's going to get some confidence with the Ducks picking him back up. And he's going to get some playing time right off the bat. So hopefully, he can gel with whoever he plays with and get going early and, hopefully help the Ducks. And then obviously, finally getting one of the guys signed and getting Rakell signed. And, honestly, I love this deal. It's a hugely team friendly, in my opinion. 3.8 for 6 years. I mean, Rakell's going to be 28, 29 by the time this deal's done. I mean, right in the prime for him, so he's going to get paid if he keeps contributing and increasing his point value every year. But for the next 5 or 6 years, he's going to be a great player for the Ducks, and they're going to have him for cheap, and that's something you need right now, especially when you've got guys like Perry and Getzlaf and Kessler on the books until 2020 and 2021. So it's a big deal for the Ducks, a good deal for Rakell to finally get signed. Obviously, we're hoping for him to come back, still on the injury list right now because of his surgery. So hopefully he'll be back. Edom will be in the lineup most likely against New Jersey, and that will spark the offense. And then obviously the big one to get signed after that is Hampus Lindholm.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, finally, one of the two gets done, and the deal came in pretty much what a lot of people were talking about. They had talked about a 6 year term and around $4 million, and obviously it came in a little less than $4 million. So, I'm sure the Ducks were happy with that. And Rakell was happy being, close to that 6 year, $24 million, deal. Came in at 22.8, so not too far off there. So it sounded like both sides were happy, as you said. A good long term deal. It's not going to cost the Ducks, a super amount of money over that time. So it's good to get that finished up, and they're basically waiting for Rakell's visa too to get done. Usually takes 3 to 5 days, depending on the process and everything. But once they go do the appointment, they'll go in there and apply, get it done. That's the time frame, and then it looks like he's still maybe about another week away from playing or so. So I don't think we'll see him, maybe not till next week towards the end, hopefully. So there'll be some updates, of course, and we'll post them as well. And with that, we'll also keep our eye on Lindholm. And I know a lot of fans are asking about Lindholm and what's his status and what's going on. And I mean, this really is kind of a complex thing here, Eddie. I mean, if you look at the Ducks situation, they have less than 400,000 in cap, based on capfriendly.com. And the Ducks are going to have to do some stuff. I mean, this is just really difficult. Like you mentioned earlier, they can put Thompson, and unfortunately, if they have to, for Dupre, they'll put him on long-term injury reserve as well. And between the two players, the Ducks will get $5.3 million, so they'd be just under 5.7, which, I mean, that's close around the number that Rakell had been talking about. We had heard between 5 and 7, so it's right in the middle there. But I think it's still a tough squeeze. I still think the Ducks need to do something else. I don't know, Eddie. Maybe send Stoner back down and get that almost other million. But even if the Ducks do all those kind of moves and don't trade anybody, I mean, you're kind of doing a short-term fix, but it's not going to solve the long-term issue of keeping Lindholm on the team.
Yeah, and really, a trade just almost seems like it has to happen now. I mean, we've said this countless times throughout the offseason, around the draft. Before, like a couple weeks ago, even we said it has to happen, and now with Rakell signed, and we were wrong about the cap being the projected cap space after Rakell was signed, because we didn't take into account, you know, Sorensen's contract and Larson's contract and Raymond's contract and all the other guys who would make the team on the full 23-man roster. And you know, those five or six guys making around $800,000 each puts it up to about $4 million that we didn't really expect to go against the cap. And now you're sitting there with $365,000 saying, well, how are we going to sign Hampus Lindholm when he wants between $5 and $6 million? And, you know, there is a couple creative ways. Like you said, you know, now with the Dupre on the injury reserve, if you put him on the LTIR with Thompson and then you send Stoner down to San Diego and bury that $950K from his salary, you've got around $6.5 to $6.7 million in cap space. So you can get it done. And, you know, they can get it done by doing that. But that's only a short-term solution because when Dupre and Thompson are ready to come back, their cap is going to count against salary again, and you're over, and you can't, you know, obviously you can't be over the cap in play. So, you know, they're going to have to get creative, and they're going to have to make some trades. You know, we talked about it last podcast. You know, maybe you have to trade Fowler or for less than you'd want to trade him for. I mean, obviously he's upping his trade value right now with the start that he's had, but who else do you trade now? We talked about Dupre, but if he's hurt, you can't trade him. I don't know how much value there is in BXA, and he also has a no-move clause, so that makes it difficult. And Stoner was waived, and I don't know how many teams are really going to be interested in him. So how do you trade anybody but Cam Fowler? And that's what makes it tough. I mean, it almost seems like to get Lindholm signed, you have to trade him. I don't know when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen, but, you know, time's running out, and if you're going to get him signed, something's got to happen.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, in order to get this long-term deal, something has to happen. And you know what's unfortunate with Fowler is, he's been one of the best Ducks. I mean, it's only been three games, I know. And we had one questioner from Nolan who asks about, you know, which Ducks players, you know, impressed you so far. And I mean, Fowler has. I mean, he's scored two goals. He's been playing well. I mean, he's been one of the Ducks' best defensive players so far in these three games. And I know it's early, but still, I mean, it's just an unfortunate situation because he's done well. And like I said, and not trying to make light of it, but it's almost like he upped his trade value by playing better. But it would be really unfortunate if that's what's going to have to happen. But there's something because, like you said, if Dupre can't come back, I mean, then there's no point. No one's going to want to take him. Stoner's already gone down on waivers once. Nobody picked him up. So like you said, you're kind of locked into that spot with Fowler. I mean, it's really what it comes down to, and I don't know if anybody's going to take him, but if the Ducks don't get that done and somehow get Lindholm done, the other question, Eddie, is what about offer sheets? You know, this is kind of the perfect storm here for the Ducks to, you know, have an offer sheet be thrown their way. I mean, I know GMs don't usually do it a lot. They don't like to, you know, irritate the other GMs and whatnot because, you know, we've talked about this before. If you offer sheet someone's team, then, you know, you're basically asking to get offer sheet back on some other player some other time down the road. But given the situation, it hasn't happened in, you know, these last couple days since Raquel has been re-signed. But what do you think? You think a team might try and do something like that and then really put Murray in a bad spot?
Yeah, you don't often see a team in a situation like this where limited cap space and limited options to relieve cap having to sign such a big player, and you know, it puts them at risk for an offer sheet for sure. You know, with Dupre getting hurt, there is options for them, like we said. I think if he hadn't have got hurt, they would have been at even more of a risk for an offer sheet because the only way they could have freed up cap was sending Stoner to San Diego and putting Nate Thompson on the long-term injured reserve. So I think with Dupre getting hurt, like we said, you can free up about $6.5 million in cap space. That should be enough to sign Hampus Lindholm. You have to remember too, Lindholm can say no to an offer sheet. If a team submits an offer sheet, he doesn't have to go to that team. If the Ducks decide not to match it, there also is compensation as well. The Ducks don't just lose him for nothing. If there was an offer sheet and if it was accepted, the Ducks, depending on how much the money is, would most likely get around a first-round draft pick and a third, or a first, second, and a third, which, I mean, I think most teams would be willing to pay for a defenseman of Hampus Lindholm's quality. But I don't think we really have to worry. You rarely ever see it for a reason in the NHL. It doesn't happen often. GMs frown upon it. you know, to be honest, I don't even know why it's in it is a rule or it is a thing that can happen anymore, because we don't see it happen for a reason. But the Ducks do have a scapegoat. Like I said, they can put those guys on a long-term injury reserve. They can send Stoner to San Diego, and they can get him signed if they have to, if they have to match an offer. I don't think any team is going to offer over $6.5 million for Lindholm so that the Ducks can't match it. But you know, if there was, it would definitely make things a lot more interesting and a lot more difficult to deal with.
Yeah, and you know, this kind of goes into a bunch of other fan questions and the way that the Ducks have handled this first week. And you know, we had Darren ask about the Ducks losing these games, and he refers to Hampus, and he thinks as signing Hampus, the one thing that the Ducks need to do. And I would say yes. The way that the defense has played in these first three games has not been great. I mean, just to put it bluntly, I mean, you give up 45 shots to Pittsburgh, who doesn't even have Sidney Crosby on their team. Dallas blows you up inside the crease on 3 out of 4 of their goals. And then you've had, 2 of the Islander goals are, actually all of them were right in front of the net. I mean, one was the weird play that was the broken stick, but I mean, you had the other two that were right there, especially the overtime winner where they just, Bailey just walks in. So to me, yeah, I would say this is a huge thing that would turn the Ducks season around. I mean, it's early. It's only 3 games. I mean, we don't need to panic yet, because remember last year they were 1-7-2 after 10 games. So, right now it's only 3 games. They are scoring goals. It's not like they're not in these games. They've all been pretty close games. But yeah, I mean, bringing Lindholm in is a huge deal. And I think because the way that the defense hasn't been playing consistently, at least in these 3 games, Eddie, is the reason why the Ducks need to get him back on the team.
Yeah, and you can imagine Claude Lemieux is sitting there watching these games just smiling, knowing that Hampus Lindholm is being missed by the Ducks right now. But no, definitely they miss his presence back there, his ability to break up plays and break up plays in front of the net. You know, that's a big part of his game. That's his bread and butter. And that's what the Ducks have been missing, especially again in that game against Dallas. But we saw it against the Islanders. We saw it against Pittsburgh as well. I mean, he's one of the best young two-way defensemen in the league. And, they're really missing him back there. And it's evident, which is a tough thing for the Ducks, especially when you have to sign a player like this. It doesn't really help contract negotiations when you're clearly missing a 22-year-old on your back end. But, that is what has to get done now. Raquel is done. He's signed long-term. And now you gotta get Hampus done. No matter what it takes, you gotta get him done. Obviously, you don't want to lose a guy like Fowler for nothing. You don't want to have to trade him the way he started, but you gotta weigh your options here. Who's more important to the team, and how are you gonna get it done? And in my view right now, the only way you get this done is you trade Cam Fowler. I before we said Dupre, but with his injury, it obviously doesn't look likely. It looks like moving Stoner just wasn't possible. Moving BX is even harder. And really the only one that looks like you can move him and get something back for him is Cam Fowler. And I don't know how you do it right now. You've got to get Lindholm signed, so something has to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, plain and simple. We talked about it last week. About Raquel and his importance to the offense, and that the Ducks needed to bring him in, which I mean, we see that too. The Ducks, they've scored 2 goals each game, which isn't terrible, but there's not a lot of depth on there as far as a balanced attack. So bringing Raquel in is important, but obviously defense wins championships. I mean, let's just be realistic, and defense is what's going to get the Ducks back to being at the top of this Pacific Division, and also going into the playoffs, because this team can still make the playoffs. I know there's some people out there that doubt it. They've seen these first 3 games. They think, okay, it's over, But you know what? The Ducks were 1-7-2. I just bring you back to that. And they were 1-7-2 back in the Mighty Duck days, and they still made the playoffs that year too. So you know what? I'm not worried about this first 3 games. I mean, I'm not happy. I don't like that they have lost them, even though they, could have won one of the three technically, off of a, poor call in my opinion. But I think the Ducks will be okay. And, it's just a matter of trying to figure the situation out. And that's been the biggest issue is the defense. That's what Richard asked us that question too. What's the biggest weakness? And I think so far it has been the defense because everything else has looked great. The power play has been so-so. They've been winning in faceoffs. They've been hitting. They've been getting shots. Gibson didn't do great in his first game, but he had a great game against the Islanders. Bernier looked good as well. So this is where it's at. I mean, it's only a snapshot. It's only three games. But they've got to work something out here, get the defense going again and playing solid, and we'll have to see. I mean, don't forget, you have Larson in there who's never played before, and some people I know are questioning. We had Nolan ask us, too, why isn't Shea in? But I think this issue, Eddie, has to do something with Larson and going back to the Swedish league and whatnot and giving him a chance. Plus, the coaches liked what they saw. He had a really well-balanced game in the preseason. So I think maybe they wanted to give him a chance to try out with Lindholm out.
Yeah, it's easier to give Larson a shot and send Shea down and give Larson his 9-game tryout and see how he does and see how he adapts to the NHL game. If you don't like it, you can send him back to Sweden. At least then you can bring up Shea from San Diego, and it's like nothing really even happened. So I think that's the reason Larson's up. He had an impressive preseason. Not that Theodore struggled, but I think Larson was one of our best players in the preseason along with Sorensen, and that was the reason that they both made the roster and are still there. But they're getting their tryouts right now. They're getting their 9-game tryouts, and we'll see how they do. And if I think if the Ducks want to keep them after that, then they'll burn the year on their entry level. But in all honesty, I think I'm not going to say Larson's played bad. I think he's actually played pretty good for being a 19-year-old and for playing in his first three games in the NHL. I think he's been calm. He's been good defensively. He's made some good plays. Hasn't really made any errors. He's been playing it safe, which is good. But I think realistically, at the end of his 9-game trial, he probably gets sent back, and we see, hopefully Lindholm back in by then. We never know. We don't even know if Fowler will be here, and we might even see Shea up because it's easier just to have Shea up than to have Larson up, and he might be back in Sweden. There's a lot of options the Ducks can go here. If they end up having somehow being able to keep Lindholm and Fowler, then it'll be interesting to see what they do there. But and it all depends, again, on how long Simon Dupre is out. So there's a lot of moving parts here, a lot of different things that can happen. But to answer the question, I think the reason Larson is in is because he's getting his tryout, and it's easier to keep him up than send him back to Sweden and at least give him a couple games.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. I think that's exactly what they're doing, and it makes sense. I mean, right now with the way things are going, Lindholm still being up in the air, why not? I mean, give him a chance. He did great, and see how he does. So, I don't, like you said, I don't think he's done anything terribly wrong. He hasn't, been outstanding. He hasn't made any great plays or anything, but he's been playing solid. I mean, if you're playing defense and you're not making mistakes, I mean, that's good. Obviously he hasn't scored or anything like that, but I think he's going to be a good player, for the Ducks long term, down the road. So I agree with you there. And I think another issue too is with the Ducks lineup in general. We had another fan ask us about all the lines and the chemistry. Braden here asks us, what do we think and if anybody needs to go off this lineup? And well, we already saw, Mason Raymond was one I would have said, and he's already got sent down. So we'll find out his fate this week, if he clears waivers. I know a lot of people weren't really, keen on Jared Bull either. I know that's another name that people are saying should be sent down instead, but that may happen too. I don't know. We'll see. But the way that this lineup's gone has kind of been interesting, Eddie. I mean, they started the season with Getzlaf and Perry together, with Richie on the top line. And then we saw the second and third lines kind of switch around a little bit. I mean, you saw the Kessler line with Coghlan and Silverberg, from last year back together. And then you saw it broken up a little bit with Cogliano also playing with Sorensen and Vermette. So we've seen a little bit of that. The fourth line has been Garbutt, Bull, and Wagner as well. So that's not really changed. That's kind of been the fourth line throughout these games. And then you saw it completely switch at the end of the the Islander game, we saw Perry and Getzlaf get switched up. You saw Richie and Silverberg and Getzlaf together, and then you saw Perry with Vermette and Cogliano. So you saw all kinds of things going on. It worked. So going into these next two games, I have no idea what the lines are going to be. I don't know if Carlisle's going to try and keep him Perry and Getzlaf together, or he's going to split them up, but. I'd have to think with the way that they did at the end of the game against the Islanders, he might split them up in this game against New Jersey. I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing we can really say for sure is that four centers are going to be Getzlaf, Kessler, Vermette, and Wagner. I mean, that's safe to say. That's the only thing we know for sure is going to happen. We could see them start the way they started the game, and like you said, have Getzlaf and Perry and Richie together, and Cogliano, Kessler, Silverberg, and so on from there, or we could see them split it up. I think based on how they played in the third period, I can't speak for Randy and how he sets his lineups, but they looked pretty impressive when they were split up, so we might see that going into this game against New Jersey. I'm sure they'll figure it out and how they can match up best against New Jersey, who is going to be obviously a different team and a different challenge than the New York Islanders. But it'll be interesting to see what they do. Obviously, with Raymond gone and eat him into the lineup, that will change things a little bit. We could see him possibly get a chance to play with one of either Getzlaf or Perry as well. It'll be interesting to see how he does in his second stint with the Ducks as well. So there's a lot of different things going in to this game against New Jersey. A lot of interesting lineups that we could really see. If Getzlaf and Perry together, we might even see Edom play with them. I have been impressed, though, of Nick Ritchie, how he's handled playing with Getzlaf and Perry. Obviously, he hasn't offensively put up the numbers. He has an assist so far, but physically, he's been creating space. He's been hitting everything that moves, so I think he's played good there. So it'll be interesting to see how Randy decides to change up these lines for this game coming up in New Jersey.
Yeah, and one thing is in this question, we talked about chemistry. I really liked Cogliano, Perry, and Vermette. I thought that they played pretty well. I mean, they didn't really deliver in the third period. I mean, it was Getzlaf getting that goal to tie it up there, and obviously Fowler as well. But, I liked how those three played together. So I wonder if, maybe Randy keeps them together and then puts Edom either with Getzlaf or Kessler. So that's something to keep your eye on, because that was a line that had played, pretty solid, throughout the third period. Like I had said, they didn't do so well in the 3-on-3 when Cogs and Perry were out there. But, I mean, then again, the Ducks, haven't really done well 3-on-3 situations. But this isn't really a surprise. As far as these lineups go, obviously we thought Raquel and Lindholm would have been re-signed before the season started. But we did talk about this over the summer, Ed, and we did talk about the shakeup, especially with the forward lines and how it was going to be a work in progress. And that's exactly what we've seen. It's been a work in progress. The starting lineup has changed. Each game it's been a little bit different, and then really changed, obviously, mid-game against the Islanders. So I think that's what it's going to be. It's going to be fluid for the next, couple games. As Edom comes back, he's going to be added into the mix. Then you're probably going to see Raquel added into the mix the following week. You may not really have this figured out till maybe November even. I mean, I know it sounds weird, but I mean, I just really think that in terms of the forwards, I think Randy's trying to fill out and get, the best out of his players that he can. And we know he can do it, mid-game. So it's just going to be a work in progress, and that's the best I can offer up right now. And I think that's the best that we can hope for, because you don't want to go with just a set lineup and lose three or four games and just keep going with the same lineup. I'd rather them try and figure this out early and get it changed. And this is something that it's different than the situation with Boudreaux. Boudreaux would change lines to change lines. This is Carlisle's has to change lines because the roster has changed. Edom coming in, Raymond going down, Raquel coming. I mean, there's all kinds of things working here. But I think so far, despite the record, I think Carlisle, some people don't like it, but I think he's done pretty well for the first three games. I mean, granted, the record isn't what we thought it would, hope to be.
Yeah, no, I think I, for the most part, barring maybe the first period against the Islanders and maybe a couple times throughout the other games, I think they've played some pretty good hockey. I mean, they made some mistakes in front of the net in the game against Dallas, and they made some mistakes in other games, but they're also not getting a lot of things going their way in bounces and even in some calls. And really, I don't like to be that guy who says, "Oh, they're not getting, you know, they're not getting their way, they're not getting calls from the ref, they're not getting bounces." But it is realistic. I mean, the call against Cracknell where he crossed it to guy into the crease, that was disappointing not to get that call. We had the one the Clutterbuck borderline call where he almost played this the puck with a broken stick. You know, that could have gone the Ducks' way as well. And then they've been throwing a lot of pucks to the net. And a lot of the bounces, almost every bounce, has gone right either to a defenseman or to the goaltender. And eventually you're going to start getting those bounces and they're going to start going in the back of the net. And I think, you know, losing the games 3-2, 3-2, and 4-2, I think they played some good hockey and I think it's going to turn around for them. I think they just got to generate some chemistry. And I think that's going to come with getting guys like Edom back in the lineup and getting Raquel into the lineup and just figuring out, you know, having all those guys at your disposal and figuring out the best lines for you. And I think when they figure that out, they're going to really get going. I think they could still benefit from getting another top six forward, whether that comes from a trade or if it doesn't come at all. I think, you know, that's a possibility that the Ducks could have as well. But, you know, they've got to find some chemistry here and get rolling.
Yeah, I agree. And I think part of that's going to help them is the speed issue. You know, you're going to bring in Edom, who's got more speed. You're going to bring in Raquel, obviously, with his speed. So I think that's going to help the Ducks out as well. I mean, like you said, they've been getting shots. They've been getting chances. It's not like last season when they started out and the offense was just completely anemic and it just looked like they were never going to score. I mean, you remember they only had 10 goals in the first 10 games last year. So they've already got 6 goals in the first 3 games. They could have easily, you know, won at least 2 of these 3 games. So there is a lot of hope. And, you know, Raquel's coming back, and we hope Lindholm's coming back. So, you know, with that, I think that the next week, you know, the Ducks are going to do better. You know, what's coming up here is they're going to face off against New Jersey, Philadelphia, and Vancouver. And I think in these contests, you know, New Jersey and Philadelphia haven't really gotten off to great starts. Where Vancouver has. Vancouver's won both their games. But I still think the Ducks can do well in these 3 games, Eddie. I think that they can turn around and you know, possibly win 2 out of 3 in this next week.
Well, realistically, they should be beating a team like New Jersey. I think New Jersey is improved. They've done a lot to improve their offense last year. They relied a lot on Adam Henrik and Kyle Palmieri last year. Obviously, bringing in Taylor Hall has been huge for them. Defensively, they are weaker, obviously losing Adam Larson and only really bringing in Ben Lovejoy. So I think there's an opportunity that the Ducks can expose there. You know, they do have Corey Schneider still, and he's an elite goaltender in this league. But it's hard to be an elite goaltender every night when you've got a weak defense in front of you. They did lose John Merrill as well to injury. So, you know, they're lacking on that blue line right now. And I think that's something that the Ducks can expose. And they should be winning this game as long as they can shut down guys like Taylor Hall and Mike Camilleri and Adam Henrik. And obviously former Duck Kyle Palmieri as well. So I think this is a game they should be winning. You look at Philadelphia as well. They're an improved team this year. They've got a couple of rookies up in Travis Konechny and Ivan Provorov as well. And obviously, you know, Rookie of the Year candidate Shane Gostisbehere last year. They're going to be an improved team this year. I think goaltending still could be an issue for them with Mason and Neuwirth. But it's another game that it's going to be a good game, good hockey. But I think the Ducks are a better team. I think they could get the win here. And obviously you go into Vancouver where they've actually started pretty well this season. But again, I mean, you know, you would expect at the beginning of the season before the Ducks started, you know, 0-2-1, I think you would have expected the Ducks to beat all 3 of these teams. And I don't think that's really changed. I think they've played some good hockey, and I think if they, you know, they can improve in a couple areas, they should be able to beat all 3 of these teams. Now, do I expect them to go out and get 6 points? I think it's tough. You play 2 games on the road here. I would hope they would win the opening game against Vancouver and Honda Center and at least pick up a point or two against New Jersey or Philadelphia. But, you know, it'd be nice to see them win at least 2 of the games of this week coming up.
Yeah, I agree, and that's the outlook. I think if the Ducks can get at least 4 points, you know, somehow out of these 3 games is going to be the way that's going to get done. And, you know, with that, the Ducks are returning home, or actually going to start at home for the season on the 23rd. And, you know, we're giving away tickets for that game. And tonight's the last word that we had to give out in our little phrase here. So the word for tonight's show is rule. RULE. If you go back and you listen to the last 3 shows at the end, we gave away other words. There's 4 words total. You put them together in a phrase. You can go ahead and email it to us now as you listen to this or after. whenever you listen to the show this week, and email it to us at info@ducksandpucks.com. We'll pick a winner. We'll probably have till Friday at midnight, I guess, to do it, and then we'll announce the winner on Saturday morning. So we'll do that. We've also lowered the prices on a bunch of the t-shirts. You can check out on the website, tpnhockey.com. Go on there. Everything is pretty much under $9.99 or less than that, so you can go on there and check it out. And last but not least, Sons of Hockey sponsored this podcast. They're going to sponsor some more this month, and they're also selling some shirts as well, so you want to check out their stuff at sonsofhockey.com. If you use the word Ducks and Pucks at checkout, you'll get 10% off your purchase there. And they wanted me to let you guys know that some of the money that's being used in the purchase of the shirts is going to go towards fighting cancer as well. So kind of a good deal there. You'll be able to, get a discount off their shirts as well, and help fight cancer, which is, a big thing in the month of October, obviously, as all the other sports as well talk about it. So there's some deals for you out there. Hopefully someone will win the tickets, and we'll be back next week, probably after the season opener, and hopefully we'll keep doing this each week, and let's go Ducks.